The flyer had been customized by an industrial station at Jupiter, replacing Brazov's original silicone flight control circuits with a Bitech processor array, but the image from the sensors had a poor resolution compared to Inoni's sensor blisters. Eyes were almost as good. There was absolutely no way of judging scale, no reference points. Unless she consulted the flyer's processors, Syrinx didn't know what their altitude was. The ocean rolled past below, seemingly without end. After 40 minutes, Pernik Island appeared on the horizon. It was a circle of verdant green that was so obviously vegetation. The islands which Edenists had used to colonize Atlantis were a variant of Habitat Bitech. They were circular disks, 2 kilometers in diameter when they matured, made from polyp that was foamed like a sponge for buoyancy. A kilometer-wide park straddled the center, with 5 accommodation towers spaced equidistantly around it, along with a host of civic buildings and light industry domes. The outer edge bristled with floating quays for the boats. Like Habitat starscrapers, the tower apartments had basic food synthesis glands, though they were primarily for fruit juices and milk. There simply wasn't any need to supply food when you were floating on what was virtually a protein-packed soup. An island had 2 sources of energy to power its biological functions. There was photosynthesis from the thick moss which grew over every outside surface, including the tower walls, and triplicated digestive tracts which were fed from the tons of krill analogues captured by baleen scoops around the rim. The krill also provided the raw material for the polyp, as well as nutrient fluids. Electricity for industry came from thermal potential cables, complex organic conductors trailing kilometers below the island, exploiting the difference in temperature between the cool deep waters and the sun-heated surface layer to generate a current. There was no propulsion system. Islands drifted where they would, carried by sluggish currents. So far, 650 had been germinated. The chances of collision were minute, for 2 to approach within visible range of each other was an event. Oxley circled Pernik once. The water in the immediate vicinity was host to a flotilla of boats. Pernik Island's trawlers and harvesters produced a crisscross of large V-shaped wakes as they departed for their fishing fields. Pleasure craft bobbed about behind them, small dinghies and yachts, with their verdant green membrane sails fully extended. The flyer darted in towards one of the landing pads between the towers and the rim. Isk himself and 3 members of his family walked over as soon as the haze of ionized air around the flyer dissolved, grounding out through the metal grid. Syrinx came down the stairs that had folded out of the airlock, breathing in a humid, salty, and strangely silent air. She greeted the reception party, exchanging identity traits. Alto and Kilda, a married couple in their 30s, who supervised the preparation of the family's catches, and Mosel, who was Isk's son, a broad-shouldered 24-year-old with dark hair, curling, gypsy-style, below his shoulders, wearing a pair of blue canvas shorts. He skippered one of the fishing boats. "A fellow captain," Syrinx said appreciatively. "It's not quite the same," he replied courteously, as they all started to walk towards the nearest tower. "Our boats have a few Bitech items grafted in, but they're basically mechanical. I sail across waves, you sail across light years." "To each their own," she replied playfully. There was an almost audible buzz as their thoughts meshed at a deeper, more intense level. For a moment she felt the sun on his bare torso, the strength in his figure, a sense of balance which was the equal to her spatial orientation, and a physical admiration which was mutual. "Do you mind if I go to bed with him?" she asked Reuben, on singular engagement. "He is rather gorgeous." "I never stand in the way of the inevitable," he replied, and winked. Isk had an apartment on the tower's 15th floor, a large one which doubled as an entertainment suite for visiting traders. He had chosen a rich style, combining modernist crystal furniture was a multi-ethnic, multi-era blend of artwork from across the Confederation.